Good morning.
Good morning.
And a happy Easter to you all. You know, Easter is the big day of the Christian year. It's a day when we mark, remember, celebrate, and experience afresh the life of Jesus Christ, passing from death to new life. And what exactly it is that makes Easter, I think, so powerful is that what is destroyed when Jesus walked out of the tomb? Something was destroyed when he walked out of that grave all those years ago. What was it? It was death. The very last verse of our New Testament reading, Paul is talking to the church about the resurrection and why it is so essential. You can't have a Christianity without it. He says, if we put our faith in Christ and he was not raised from the dead, then we're to be pitied above everybody else because our faith is in vain. And the very last sentence, what does he say? He says, and the very last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Death is destroyed. Isn't that comforting? Isn't that remarkable and powerful? To know that the tomb doesn't have the last word. Life. Jesus has the last word. So I want to say a little bit about Easter. I want to say a little bit about this idea of resurrection. But before I do, let's take a moment and bow our heads and pray together, shall we? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we gather here this morning, called by you. Father, I ask that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and minds to understand the wonderful gift, the glorious gift that you have given us in your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that you would enable us by your Spirit to know him, to experience his life afresh today as you reveal yourself to us through your word and in the power of your Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Well, I want to say first a little bit about a journey. And I want to say a little bit about remaining. And then I want to say a little bit about resurrection. Now, we've been in a journey this week. Easter comes at the end of what we call Holy Week. And a week ago, we were excited and exuberant. It was Palm Sunday. And just as the crowds all those years ago were excited about Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem and waving branches and waving palm branches, which incidentally were a sign of victory, they were excited. But remember that that excitement was based on something that wasn't exactly true. They were expecting somebody to come into the city and wreck some shop. Well, Jesus did, but he turned over money changers' tables and had a showdown with the religious leaders and basically did everything after Palm Sunday the opposite of what everybody thought he was going to do. And so my invitation to us last week was to journey with Jesus into the city. Now, we know that the journey into Jerusalem ends back outside the city, so it's tempting to want to wait outside the city, to not go in. Because you know that Jesus is just going to catch up with you again on Good Friday. So my invitation to us all last Sunday was to journey with Jesus, to go into the city with him, to go to the temple, to see his miracles, to hear his teaching, to see that showdown with the religious leaders and the conflict that began to boil the city. And then to journey with him to that upper room where he gathered in the stillness of his followers and gave them bread and a cup of wine. And then the journey continued on Good Friday back outside the city where it started. And there, instead of shouts of excitement, there were shouts of scorn and derision and malice against the one whom just a few days ago people were cheering. And there outside the city, on a hill called the Skull. Or you can guess what they did there. There they killed him. And there the journey ended. And that's been our journey this week. That we've walked with Jesus into the city. We've experienced those moments of his life. And then we went back outside the city where he died. Now that in and of itself is, I think, a pretty remarkable journey to take. But the journey actually doesn't end there, does it? Now let me say this. What did all of Jesus' followers do after he was laid in the tomb? They didn't get together and say, hey, let's start this thing called the church and change the world. For them, the journey really did end. They went back to the way things used to be. They went back to their old jobs, their old lives. Hey, that was a great run, guys. A lot of fun. But the journey's over, so what do we do now? Hey, John, you want to go cut some fish? Sure, sounds good. Go cut some fish. That's what we used to do. You see, with Jesus in the tomb, the direction of the journey, the temptation was, let's just go back to the way things were. Almost as if that whole amazing 3 years with Jesus had never happened. Can you imagine James and John going back to their father's dock and asking for their old job back? You remember at the beginning of the Gospels, when Jesus came and was calling his disciples, he came to James and John, and what does it say? They were with their father in the boats, tending the nets, and Jesus says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And okay, drop the nets, and off they go. See you, Dad. And now, 3 years later, hey, Dad, can I have my old job back? It's over. And for you and for me, the temptation in this life is to always want to just go back to the way things were. You meet Jesus, you come to church, you do whatever, and then the journey stops. And you're tempted to always just, let's just go back to the way things were. Yeah, it may smell like fish, but it's a steady paycheck. It's good work. It's nothing to look down upon. See, that's what happens when the journey ends. You just go back to the way things were. As if that connection, that contact, that vision of who Jesus is, as if it never happened. So that's what happened to the disciples. They remained. But Easter, the resurrection, changes all that. And just so you know, you can never meet Jesus, be touched by him, to experience him, to trust in him and his power, and ever go back to the way things were. Oh, sure, you'll be tempted to, and you may very well do so. But I believe that if you really do trust in Jesus, you can never go back to the way things used to be. Because he changes you. He gets into your life and messes it up in all kinds of wonderful ways. Well, it might not seem wonderful at the time, but that's what Jesus does. So the resurrection on Easter morning tells us that, hey, the journey doesn't end. It actually is just beginning. In fact, what did Jesus tell Martha, who was the brother of Lazarus? It was our reading just a few weeks ago. Lazarus dies, and Jesus goes to the family to comfort them. And Martha says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would never have died. Journey's over. Thanks, Jesus. It's good to see you, but journey's over. And what does Jesus tell her? He says, do you believe that you'll see your brother again? And she said, yes, I believe I will see him again at the resurrection. So Jesus said, well, the journey's not over. And she says, I believe I will see him again at the resurrection on the last day. Sometime in the future, Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection. resurrection and the life. And the one who believes and trusts in me, even though they might die, they will live. And to prove it, Jesus called the Lazarus and pulled him up out of the tomb. He's alive. The journey didn't end for Lazarus. And if you recall from the other readings that we've had in Matthew, what happened the moment Jesus died on Good Friday? A couple things happened. There was an earthquake, right? Remember this? And then what happened? The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And then one other thing happened that blows your mind and freaks you out all at the same time. It says that the tombs of many of the saints were cracked open, and they got up. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? We got dead people coming up all over the place here. What's going on? You see, when the resurrection happened, it was an indication that everything was starting to change. And although it might have seemed like the journey ended on Good Friday, when Jesus rose again from the dead, that was actually what I call the beginning of the end. That God's plan to judge and to redeem and to renew the world actually kind of came a little bit ahead of time when Jesus stepped out of that tomb. Incidentally, on the first day of the week, the first day of new creation, dead bodies coming back to life. You didn't know any better, you think it was a zombie movie. But that's not our hope, is to be zombies, folks. Our hope is to share in the life of Christ. And that when he does return, when he does come back, that will be the end of the beginning. See, when he came from the grave, that was the beginning of the end. And now we come to the end of the beginning. And a whole new story of creation, a new life will begin. And so you and I live in between those times. We live between the beginning of the end and the end of the beginning. Don't worry, it doesn't make sense. And I think that's why we're always tempted to want to go back to the way things were. It's because we live in between these times. But we're always anchored by what was behind us, by the resurrection of Christ. And because he's still alive today, remember, he didn't just come to life 2,000 years ago and then just like disappear. I mean, yes, he ascended to heaven, but he's still alive today. He's still coming into lives today. And so we can't go back. Not if we trust in him, because we have something to look forward to as well. And that's what Easter does for us. It tells us that death is destroyed, and that by trusting in Christ, there's no going back. There's no going back anymore. And so that promise of forgiveness of life comes to us afresh on this beautiful day. Now it's raining outside, I know that. But it is a beautiful day.